today as we come to the table.
Oftentimes, there's this hesitancy to worship. But worship is something that we need to learn to do, and that we need, that God requires us to do, and that God desires us to do. And let me say this, the true worshiper is the person that is filled with true joy. You want to see a person filled with joy? Find a true worshiper and you're going to. And you see, that's God's desire for you. The Lord wants you to be filled with joy, and he wants you to understand how to have that joy. Now, in today's passage, we see Cain and Abel bringing an offering as an act of worship to God. Now, again, they're bringing this offering, but it's their heart to the Lord. It's an act of worship to the Lord.
God desires you to not only receive forgiveness of your sins, but he wants you to experience the fullness of joy in your life. You shouldn't have a less satisfying life when you come to the Lord. You should have the most fulfillment as you obey and serve the Lord. God knows exactly what brings true joy, and it's found in him. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will be challenging you to take time out of every day and worship the Lord. God desires you to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not just about singing songs and raising your hands. It's about the condition of your heart. First, settle the issues in your heart and confess your sin, and then come to God in song. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
I'm excited today as we look today at worship, and not just worship, but true worship. And why don't we open up to Genesis chapter 4, and we'll read this together. We're only covering four verses today. And then we're going to hopefully hear by the time we're done, spend some time at the end of today just worshiping the Lord. And so notice what it says here in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I have gotten a man from the Lord.' And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering." Now, looking today at true worship, typically this is not the place where you think you would be looking at true worship. Maybe somewhere in John 4 where Jesus said you have to worship in spirit and truth, and we're going to touch on that today. But again, what God really struck my heart this week, and I want to say this, God has been working in my heart the last couple of weeks saying, "Mark, I want you to teach on worship." He's been stirring me over and over saying, "Look, I want you to be a worshiper, and I want you to teach on worship, and I want to see Calvary Chapel Knoxville be a church of worship." Now, let me say this. I do believe we are worshipers. If you know the Lord, then you're probably worshiping in some form and fashion. But I believe there's a level of worship where we can enter in with the Lord that is oftentimes greater than what we find on Sunday morning. And I find that Sunday morning is probably the time when the least worship takes place. Now, don't get me wrong on that. Here's what I'm saying. Why is that? Is it a different crowd? Do the people on Sunday morning not want to worship? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's something about the formality of a Sunday morning that makes us a little bit more hesitant to truly enter into worship. And I think oftentimes you have on Sunday mornings, you have a lot of visitors as well, and maybe people that don't even know the Lord yet and haven't given their heart to the Lord. And so oftentimes there's this hesitancy to worship. But worship is something that we need to learn to do, and that we need, that God requires us to do, and that God desires us to do. And let me say this, the true worshiper is the person that is filled with true joy. You want to see a person filled with joy? Find a true worshiper and you're going to. And you see, that's God's desire for you. The Lord wants you to be filled with joy, and he wants you to understand how to have that joy. Now, in today's passage, we see Cain and Abel bringing an offering as an act of worship to God. Now, again, they're bringing this offering, but it's their heart to the Lord. It's an act of worship to the Lord. And so, as you know, in the Old Testament, they would bring the animals and they would bring the oil and they would bring the grain and all these different things that were there to offer the Lord an offering. But we don't do that today. You see, Jesus, when he died on the cross, fulfilled all the requirements and all the symbolism of the actual offerings of animals and grain and oil. But here's the question. Do we still bring God an offering today? The answer is very much yes, we still bring God an offering today. And so what are the offerings that we bring to the Lord today? Now, we typically, again, think of worship through sacrifice and offering as being an Old Testament practice. And although we don't bring those Old Testament offerings to the Lord, such as bringing, you know, the animals and the grain and the oil, and to be honest with you, I tell you, I think it's a lot easier being a pastor today than it would have been a priest in that day. Handling all these animals and having to kill all these animals and having to sacrifice all these animals, and you better be good at barbecue because that's what you're going to be doing all the time. You know, you definitely would need the smoker out back or whatever the case might be. But the bottom line is, the sacrifice and offering principles that God requires and desires are still in place. Did you realize that? Did you know that just because you didn't bring an animal this morning, just because you didn't bring grain this morning, just because you didn't bring oil this morning, God still requires of you an offering this morning? And I think that a lot of times we don't understand that in the church. I tell you, there's one thing, one advantage to having all the animal sacrifices and all that in the temple was, is you would always be aware of the fact that you were making offerings to God. And I think sometimes we're not really aware that we're making offerings to God. You know, if you're showing up to the temple and you're bringing these things with you, you realize, I guess I better go give these things to God, and you know you're doing it. And sometimes I think we come on Sunday morning and our mind is in another place, our focus is somewhere else. You know, maybe sometimes we don't even come till the worship's over. So we can hear the teaching, but we don't even come. Listen, God requires that we be people of worship. And God also desires that we be people of worship. And so that's what I want to look at today in understanding that, and then give us practical steps to being people of worship. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm going to give you, now here's the formula, and I'm not going to give you a nice little acronym, even though they're there, as far as learning to worship the Lord, because true worship comes from the heart. But at the same time, we have to understand that God requires and desires worship. And then we have to understand, well, how do I do that? And so I'm hoping that we'll know before we leave today. Now, first, let me ask this. What does God require? In 1 Chronicles 16:29, and I'm going to give you a bunch of different verses today. You can jot them down if you want for later. But in 1 Chronicles 16:29, it says, give to the Lord the glory due. Note that word. I have it capitalized here in my notes. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, notice offering and worship here is not a divine suggestion. It is a divine command. The Lord says, give the offering that's due his name. Bring it to the Lord. It's not something, well, I think maybe I'll worship this morning. The Lord is saying, I'm asking you, I'm requiring of you that you bring me your offering of worship. It's something as a child of God that God requires of you to do. And some of you right now might be panicking. You might say, wait a minute, God requires me to worship? Well, I'm not much for raising my hands. And when they clap, I'm not so much for that. And even standing up or sitting down, whatever the case might be. Listen, true worship is not whether you're raising your hands or clapping your hands. True worship comes from the heart. Now, again, clapping hands, raising hands, that's a part of worship. And the Bible says that is an effective way to give our offerings to the Lord. But if you're not that type person and you don't really get into that, it doesn't mean that you're not a worshiper. It doesn't mean that you're not lifting up praises to the Lord. So don't panic when you find out that God requires praise and worship. God is simply saying that this is something that is due my name, and my people should be giving me the glory that's due my name. And so understand that it's, in other words, it's not optional for the believer. It's something that God asks us to do. All of us in this room, if we know Jesus Christ, God by his word requires you to be a worshiper. And if you're not, you need to challenge yourself. Do I just stand there till it's over? Do I think about the ball game? Do I do whatever? Well, maybe it's not. This kind of music I don't get into. You know what? I have learned that I can worship to any type of music. You can sing hymns all day long, and I can get lost in Jesus in hymns. You can do praise and worship in contemporary. I can get lost in that. I think it's up to us to choose to enter in and listen to the words and to get our eyes on the Lord and say, God, I'm going to focus on you, and I'm going to praise you. And I love the variety the Lord gives us. He gives us different variety when it comes to worship, and we need to learn to worship no matter what the variety is. Now, that's what the Lord requires. What does the Lord desire? Psalm 50 verse 11 says this, if I were hungry, would I not tell you? For the world is mine in all of its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? In other words, is that going to make me happy, all these sacrifices that you're bringing? In other words, it's what's happening in your heart that's making me happy, not the fact that all the animals are being put on the altar. So notice what the Lord is saying here. It's not that I want you to just do some physical act. That's not what pleases me, you know, especially if it's just to show. Here's what pleases him. Notice this. Here's what he desires. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. More than our sacrifice in a physical effort that we do, the Lord desires that in our heart we be thankful and faithful to him for what he has done. You see, and in so doing, we bring him praise. Now, here's the question we must ask ourselves. Are we doing what God requires in our worship life? And are we doing what God desires in offerings of sacrifice and praise? I want to challenge you this morning. Right now, look at your own heart and challenge yourself. Now, again, when we worship again here in a minute, I want to set the groundwork for this. When we worship again in a minute, I don't want people to think, well, Pastor Mark's probably going to be watching to see whether or not I'm really. And so, you know, no, you may stand there like this and just before the Lord and be worshiping just as much as the person who's, you know, this type thing, right? So don't think that I'm looking or someone else is looking or you're on some kind of judge, you know, the scale of the worship scale. You know, walking over the meter, you know, that goes up and down. Oh, there's me. Oh, that's worship. No, that's not, you know. Oh, you know. So understand when we say this, I'm setting the tone. We're going to be doing some worship in a moment. And I'm going to share with you, again, what God wants us to do. But it's not a matter of something that is necessarily physical as much as it is your heart. And if it manifests physical, praise the Lord. Enjoy the Lord and be free in that. But don't worry about whether or not the person next to you thinks, well, you just gave that big speech and I know he's not really worshiping. So make sure you're not judging anyone and make sure that you're not feeling that you're being judged. Be free in the Lord and relax. But again, we're to be thankful in our hearts and we need to ask ourselves, are we giving him the glory due his name? And are we giving him praise and thanks for all that he's done? Ask yourself that. Lord, am I really giving you glory and praise? Now, I'm going to give you a pass on the first songs at the beginning because you didn't know I was going to teach on this. So even though you should have been there, and what it teaches us is that we need to be preparing on Sunday morning as we come, don't we? We need to be saying, Lord, I'm getting ready to enter into your place of worship. And I want my heart to be ready. And I know that I may be depressed, I may be sad, I may have my mind, I may be worried, I may be anxious, I may all these things, but I'm gonna choose to do what you require of me. As one of your children, as one of your servants, I'm gonna bring you a sacrifice. Notice the word sacrifice. I'm bringing you a sacrifice of praise. What does sacrifice mean? Sacrifice means you're giving something up, doesn't it? And so if you're coming and you don't feel like worshiping, that's a true sacrifice. Lord, I'm not into this. I just don't feel like it. It's not part. This morning is whatever the case might be. Maybe it's the whatever the case might be. Maybe it's you could name a number of things. The bottom line is right now, I know that you've asked me to do this. And I know that your word requires me to do this. So I'm going to offer to you a sacrifice. Now, that's when you don't feel like it. It's a sacrifice. What about when you do feel like it? Then it's just a joy. It's just an offering to say, God, here it is. It's all yours. And yes, see, that's the difference in sacrifice and just the praise that comes with that. But we need to ask ourselves, are we giving that to the Lord? Are we thankful for what he has done? And if not, we're not in obedience to his word. And so we need to challenge ourselves to make sure that we're obedient. Now, what are the sacrifices and offerings that we're to give the Lord today? Now, I want you, if you're a writer, I want you to jot these things down. If you're a note taker, there's 8 things I want to give you of what the scripture shows us that God wants us to give him when it comes to our worship and our sacrifice to him. Number one is our body. I'm sorry, our lives. Number two, our bodies. Number three, our belongings. Number four, and we'll go over these again, our good deeds. Number five, our generosity. Number six, our praise. Number seven, our thanksgiving. And number eight, our worship. Now, number one, first of all, our lives. Notice Psalm 51:17 says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. It means humble before the Lord. He says, these, O God, you will not despise. In other words, when we are broken and humble before the Lord, we are no longer living our life, but now we're living a life given over to him. And so the Lord says, give me your life. And I think that considering what the Lord has done for us, that's a reasonable thing to ask, don't you? He says, I want your life. That is the sacrifice I want you to give to me, your life. Secondly, notice he wants us to give our bodies. Again, Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Note this, which is your reasonable service. It is not unreasonable for the Lord to say, give me your body. Now, we give our bodies to a lot of things. And the question is, are we giving our bodies to the world and to immorality or things that are sinful? Or are we giving our body to the Lord as a sacrifice, as an offering of praise? It doesn't mean you can't enjoy things. The Bible says God has given us all things richly to enjoy. So it's not a matter of, you know, I've given my body and that means I can't have any fun. No, who do you think created fun? The Lord created fun. Have a blast in your body. Just make sure you're living righteously. And so he wants our bodies. Number three, notice this. Thirdly, again, our belongings. The Lord wants our belongings. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says this, and this is David now. After the people again had brought the offering to the Lord, David saw how great the offering was. And notice what he said. I love this. David said, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able, note that we should be able to offer so willingly as this. In other words, we shouldn't even be able to give to you, Lord. And it's amazing that we even have what we have so we can give to you. Note this, for all things come from you and you own, and of your own we have given to you. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm giving you an offering. The people are giving you an offering, Lord, in sacrifice and praise, but really we're giving you nothing because who really gave it to us? The Lord did. You know, when your kids, it's funny, your kids, and I, you know, I guess this really became clear to me when I had children of my own, because they would come and they want to buy mom a gift, right? Well, how are they going to get income? You know, they can't exactly work extra hours at work. I mean, they're like 3, 4, and 5, right? And so they're like, you know, I want to get mom a gift and I want to buy a gift. So what do? Well, as a dad, you hand them some money, right? And you give somebody and say, all right, now go and shop and buy mom a gift. And then they take the money that you gave them, which wasn't theirs, and they didn't earn it. But now once they have it, they go, it's mine. I've got money, right? And they take that money and they buy something and they go to mom, rightfully so, and they say, mom, I bought you this. Look what I got you with my money. I got you something, a gift with my money, right? And you know the whole time, that wasn't your money, that was my money. The fact that you even were able to have that money to buy mom a gift, it was given you by your father. And you see what David recognized here when it comes to offering and praise in worship of the Lord, because that is another form of worship, is our offerings to God, our belongings, giving what we have, saying, God, my house is yours, my car is yours, and all this stuff is yours. It was from him anyway. I wouldn't have a car to offer to the Lord if the Lord hadn't given me a car. I wouldn't have a house to offer to the Lord if the Lord hadn't given me a house. And see, I wouldn't have, you know, a washing machine. And so when the washing machine tears up, you can say, Lord, your machine's torn up. What are you going to do about it? You see? And so now you're not the one that has to worry about the problem. You've given it to God. God's got to fix it. Okay? So understand that. God is the one. David recognized that. Fourthly, our good deeds. Notice it says here in Hebrews 13:16, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such, note this, sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we see that even our good deeds are a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, maybe there's something that you're going to go and serve the Lord in some way or whatever the fashion might be. And maybe you don't feel like it that day. Maybe they're having a work day on a Saturday or they're doing something. And you say, you know what? I really don't feel like this, but God's put in my heart to go do it. And you go do it. It is a sacrifice. You are giving up something on your Saturday that you wanted to do. Maybe it was a lake ride. Maybe it was whatever. But you're saying, I'm going to sacrifice this for God. The Bible says that's pleasing to the Lord. Now understand, this is not talking about works to make God happy in the sense of working our way into heaven. It's simply giving an offering of what we have to offer to God. And so again, our good deeds as well. Number five, notice this, our generosity. Philippians 4:18 says this, indeed, I have all and abound. And I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you. This is Paul speaking. But notice what he calls it. When they gave generously to Paul, he says, it was a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Again, look at the reference to a sacrifice and the aroma. Remember when they would bring the animals, they would burn them, and the Temple Mount smelled like a big barbecue. And so the picture for their mind was, is this: if this smells this good to us, then spiritually it smells good to the Lord because we're giving a sacrifice to God. And so what Paul is saying is, he's not talking about a literal animal sacrifice here. He's saying, when I give generously and when I receive generously, people have ministered to me, but in this case, when I give generously or when we give generously, it is a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. So understand that when you help a brother or sister out, that's a sweet aroma before God. Now, 6 and 7, I'll combine together, but our praise and our thanksgiving. Notice Hebrews 13, 15 says this, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Notice the word sacrifice again. So when we're giving God praise, we are giving a sacrifice. That is, and here he describes it now, not an animal sacrifice. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see, it's when we're praising, it's when we're worshiping, it's when we're thanking him and saying, God, you are so good. Thank you for what you've done. I give you glory. See, that's a praise and thank offering to the Lord. And lastly, which we're going to focus on today, is our worship. Now, technically, worship includes everything that we do if we're doing it in the name of the Lord. So you can't just say worship is singing songs or worship is this. Your job is worship, taking care of your wife and your children. Everything is worship if you're doing it as unto the Lord. But in this context, we're talking about worship in the sense of praising and singing songs to God. And so I think it's important that we point out here a difference between praise and between worship. Praise is simply this. Praise is, in essence, bragging about God and thanking him for what he's done. That's praise. Worship is much more intimate than that. It's where we really just get lost in our God and just adore him. It's almost adoration. Oh, Lord, you are so good. And so understand, sometimes, maybe during the worship set, there may be songs that just talk about God's greatness. You know, God, you're great. God, you've done this. God, you've done that. And you're thinking, I'm just proclaiming God's greatness. You are at that moment in the midst of praise. That is a praise song. But then you have those times where maybe it slows down a little bit and you begin to say, oh, Lord, you know, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King. You know, and what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Now you're just worshiping. It's getting your eyes on him and saying, Lord, you're just so wonderful. And the Bible says to worship in the beauty of holiness. So understand, there's a place for both. There's a place for praise and there's a place for worship, and both of them make up our experience with the Lord. Now, with that said and that groundwork laid, we need to answer this question. What is biblical worship? We've talked about it really already, but let's give some definitions. The word worship was derived originally from a word that means worth-ship. And it basically points out the worthiness of God. It has to do with God's worth. Remember, we talked at the very beginning, giving God the glory due his name. What it's saying is, God is worthy of it. He's worthy of our praise. You know, we think about praising certain people and praising certain things. Who more is worthy of our praise than God? And so that's where the word comes from. It's worship or worthiness. He is worthy to give honor and praise to. So that would be the definition of worship. And it means to bow down and prostrate oneself, which can either be done physically or spiritually. Again, yes, you can physically lay down before the Lord when you're in worship, and I've done that before, or you can be sitting or standing and be worshiping in your heart, be prostrate before the Lord in your heart. And so understand, it's not so much a matter of the position that your body is in, even though God will lead you in different ways at different times.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.